There is a lot of talk today about Christ's kingdom. Would you be interested in knowing it has come? Stay tuned.
Words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of
life. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. This is a program where we spend just a few moments looking at the precious book divine, God's Word. We examine it book, chapter, and verse. I hope you will tune in each week as we look at God's Word together. Thanks for joining me today. And please know that at the end of our broadcast, we will offer Bible study material absolutely free so that you may continue your studies in God's Word in the privacy of your own home. So please stay tuned, and thanks again. Now let's think about two book, chapter, and verses today, if you will. The first one is from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, to where Paul tells Timothy concerning Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Indeed, Jesus Christ is the King of kings. In this context of 1 Timothy chapter 6, we are reminded that the Lord will return and how that Jesus witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords in 1 Timothy 6:16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Truly, sounds like a king. And Jesus Christ is the King of kings. From time to time, our teens at church will sing a song, what we call a youth song, that He is the King of kings, Jesus. The King of kings, while on this earth, Jesus taught about His kingdom. And he said something rather interesting about the kingdom in Mark 9 and verse 1. As a matter of fact, today we're going to think about some teachings of Jesus concerning the kingdom. In Mark 9 and verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now that's a stunning text, is it not? Jesus said there were those standing there that would not die until they saw the kingdom come with power. When Jesus said, you will see the kingdom come, or there will be some that will not taste of death till they see it. Folks, I don't mean to be funny with this remark, but have you seen anything on the news lately of 2,000-year-old people still waiting for the kingdom of God to come with power? It's just not there. It's not even in some of the tabloids we see in grocery stores. Jesus said there were those standing there that would not taste of death till they saw the kingdom of God come with power. In previous broadcast, we've talked about the beauty of the New Testament church. We've looked at many characteristics of the church, and today I want us to think about the church as the kingdom. Is it possible? Is it possible that this powerful kingdom has indeed come unto man already? There are those that teach that the kingdom is yet to come. But when we note Jesus, it's interesting to see the kingdom has already come in the form and the perfect identity of the church. Now let's notice some things about the kingdom, if you will, and stay with the Bible. We're going to look at some books, some chapters and verses. Let's notice first of all that this powerful kingdom was promised by Jesus Christ. Let's look at Matthew the 16th chapter and the 18th verse. Actually a text that we've looked at before here on Book, Chapter, and Verse, but one worthy for us to think about today. We've noticed some unique characteristics about the church we read of in the New Testament. Let's once again go back to the coast of Caesarea Philippi when Jesus asked his apostles or his disciples in verse 13, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus promised to build his church. He promised to give the keys of the kingdom to Peter. Now, keeping that in mind, look at Acts the second chapter with me. And we want to notice Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. As Peter addresses the crowd standing up with the 11 in Acts 2 and verse 14, he is telling them what is before them. And in verses 16 through 21, he speaks of a prophecy that was spoken of by the prophet Joel and how that prophecy had come to pass. In verse 22, he begins to preach about Christ. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now he comes to verse 29, still speaking of the Christ, but listen. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne, or on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Listen to the conclusion. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Now let's think about some things. First of all, for one to be a king, one must have a kingdom. And indeed, Christ has a kingdom. He was called the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, declared not only there in our earlier passage we read of 1 Timothy 6:15, but even acknowledged as such in the wonderful writing of the Revelation by John. Now let's think about, for one to be a king, obviously, as we mentioned, one must have a kingdom, and Christ has a kingdom. Now, consider with me some things about a kingdom. A kingdom must have a territory. What did Jesus say in Luke 17, 21? Jesus said, Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom is in the territory, and that kingdom is the territory of our hearts. Does Jesus reign as the King of your heart? Does He reign in your heart with the gospel message? You know, it's interesting, as we were reading Acts 2, when they heard this message, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart. The message affected their heart to where they needed the King to reign in their heart. A kingdom must have a territory. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. On that day of Pentecost, we find when they obeyed the gospel of Christ, when they responded to Peter's preaching, were gladly received His word, Acts 2:41 said they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Added unto them? Yes. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The King of Kings was reigning in their heart. He is in their territory, or their heart is His territory. And they are now part of His body. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now, let's notice a little bit more. A kingdom must have a territory. He reigns in our hearts, which makes us, number two, a kingdom must have subjects. Individuals that will respond to the kingdom, or respond to the King within the kingdom. A kingdom must have a territory, but a kingdom must have subjects. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Subjects were added to the kingdom to respond to the King. That would tie in with what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. When Jesus, before He ascended into heaven, said, all power or all authority is given unto Me in both heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. As the King of Kings has a message that will prick the hearts, to reign in their hearts, that territory, we become subjects unto Him. He is our King. I think about the hymn, He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long, enraptured or enthralled, excited, praise I sing, He's my Savior, He's my King. Now, a kingdom must have a territory, reigned by a king, and must have subjects. How about a third one? A kingdom must have a law. I love Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, a kingdom must have a law. How else can there be order unless there is law? A law of liberty that James mentions in James chapter 1, verses 22 and following. So, let's put this together. For one to be a king, and Jesus is indeed a king, he must have a kingdom. The kingdom must have a territory, the heart of man. The kingdom must have subjects that respond to him, and a law of the king in which they follow. And there were those in the time of Christ that did not see the kingdom come. Or rather, there were those in the time of Christ actually that did see the kingdom come. And my friend, as the church, the kingdom came in the first century. I realize that, especially in some areas, that's just foreign to people. They can't grasp that. As the kingdom is something that is still yet to come, that Jesus would come back to this earth and start an earthly kingdom. It's as if that He did not accomplish it the first time through His church. But as we carefully note that the kingdom was promised by the Christ in Matthew 16, 18, and 19, and in Mark 9, 1, there would be those who would not taste death until they see the kingdom. Well, in Acts chapter 2, that kingdom came with power. As they were pricked in their hearts and responded to the preaching of the gospel, that Jesus commanded in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, becoming His subjects upon obedience, and a kingdom that must have a law that we are to abide within. My friends, I know that sounds simple, but yet it's so true. Now, let's build this just a little bit. As it was promised by the Christ, who is the King, He reigns in our hearts. There's the territory. We are His subjects, and we are under that beautiful law of Christ. Let's not only look at the powerful kingdom was promised by the Christ, but let's look at the powerful kingdom that has people serving in it today. Now, how do we know? Let's consider some other books, chapters, and verses, if you will, from God's Word. Let's notice some things about the kingdom in light of the Bible. First of all, the kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. In John 18 and verse 36, Jesus simply answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus said, "You want me on this earth to start a kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. If that would be the case, my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews." But Jesus came to this earth in order to die for man, that we might live. And so the kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, as we would understand a kingdom in other parts of the world. And what's interesting, there are those who are already translated into the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul's writing to the church there at Colossae. And he says, "Who hath delivered us," speaking of Christ, "from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now, as you study the Word of God, a study method that I like to use is to look from the beginning to the end of a verse and then back up with phrases to grasp its meaning. Watch. Even the forgiveness of sins. Can you and I have forgiveness of sins this day? We sure can. In whom we have redemption through His blood. How do we receive forgiveness of sins? Well, we're redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Are there those today who are redeemed through His blood? Yes. Are there those today who are forgiven of sins? Yes. Are there those today who've been delivered from the power of darkness, who have been delivered from living for Satan and now live for Christ? Yes. Now, if forgiveness of sins is possible, and redemption through His blood is possible, and being delivered from the power of darkness is possible, then look what else is possible. Dead center of the verse. "And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Now, was Paul not writing to the church here in the city of Colossae? Yes. They were called faithful brethren, chapter 1 and verse 2. And in verse 5 of chapter 1, they had their hope laid up in heaven. He told them they were delivered from the power of darkness. They had redemption through His blood. They had forgiveness of sins. They were already into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, if the kingdom is something yet to come, how could they already be in the kingdom? They were added to the church. Now, let's think about those that receive the kingdom. Hebrews 12, verse 28. "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Notice now, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom," we receiving it, "let us have grace whereby we may serve." Why would we serve? Because our sins were forgiven. We have redemption through His blood. We're delivered from the power of darkness, and we're able to serve now in His kingdom, the church. It's not an earthly kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom. And we are able to serve Him this day. We're able to be His servants. Romans 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked, you were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Notice this, if you will. There will be a kingdom delivered up when our Lord returns. The church today will be delivered up. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 27. Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Kingdom's got to be here. Kingdom is here. Church is here. Saved is here. The saved are in the church. Acts 2, 47. Once again, then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted which did put all things under Him. Notice, He hath put all things under His feet. Listen to this text, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Speaking of God concerning Christ, and hath put all things under His feet, and hath given Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The kingdom will be delivered up. It's got to be active now if Christ is going to come back and take it. Is that not wonderful? How one can be a part of our Lord's kingdom this very day in being added to the church. I trust that your study of this subject will continue to increase. I trust you will want to know more about the kingdom, the church of which you can be a part of. A church of which you can be a part of, the church we read of in the New Testament, nothing more and certainly nothing less. You can be added to the church this very day. Just like on the day of Pentecost, when they heard the message of Christ, they believed that message. They were pricked in their heart and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And as we read a little bit further in Acts 2 and verse 41, how they received that word, and that very day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And you might be wondering, okay, Jeff, if I call you and say, I would love to be added to the church, added to the kingdom, could you help? And the answer to that is yes. When an individual knows that answer and knows to allow the Lord to reign in the territory of their heart, they are able to make a great difference for our Lord. So on book, chapter, and verse, we've looked today at the church as the kingdom. Are you part of that kingdom? Are you part of the church we read of in the New Testament? What we just mentioned is the very simple thing to do in order to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as you do that, you'll be able to walk as His subject by His law, the Word of God, growing and knowing that you are the child of a king, knowing that you are of a holy nation, a royal priesthood, as Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. How thankful we are that our Lord came to this earth and that as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He has given us His kingdom, the church, that you and I may be His servants, that we may thrive and serve. Let's spend a few moments in singing unto our Father.
Father, strong to
The powerful kingdom has come, promised by Christ with people serving in it as well. Will you allow the King to reign in your territory or your heart? You can do that this very day.
Words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words
of life.